What is going on? Thank you so much for joining the J Makwapa podcast. This is the fuel to your faith and the death to your doubt. I hope you enjoy this message. Let's get into it.
Public servant of the year. Oh, yes.
What is going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me once again here at the J Makwapa podcast. I am grateful that you are here. So if it is your first time listening, here is an extra immersive. If you're always listening and you are always faithful to listen to me and have my back, here is an extra immersive. And you know, every week I need to give specialized extra immersives to the people who, you know, shout out the podcast and let people know that they are listening. And I shout you out if it's the first time that I see you shout out the podcast. So this week it is Silane Mokwajane. Here is your extra immersive. Thank you so much for letting people know you're listening, but not only you, but also to everyone who shares and just lets people know about the podcast. I appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. All right. Now I want you guys to know that on the 5th of August, you know, I spoke about going on live on Instagram, and I was unsure about it, but this time on the 5th of August, we're going live, and it's going to be interactive. We're going to be speaking to one another like we did other time, the 5th of August. And I'm not doing it alone. This time, I'm going to be doing it as a collaboration with Tammy. You'll be introduced to her. She's really cool. And the title of the the live is going to be called Entanglements. How far is too far? How much is too much? It's going to be a no judgment zone, but we're going to learn a lot. So be there for that. 9 o'clock, Wednesday, the 5th of August. We're going live. It's going to be amazing. But today we are speaking about temptation. The title of the message that I'm going to be speaking today is called Temptation. And you already know that there's not much for me to say. We just need to get into it. So let me pray and then we're going to get into it. Let's pray. God, I come before you. I thank you so much for your love and your mercy. I pray, God, that you would use this podcast to speak to your people. I pray also, God, that I would be in the right state of mind and just in a heart that I'll be able to communicate this well. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And I said, amen, amen. Can everybody say amen? All right. So temptation, you know, temptation, many people, we hear of this word and sometimes it causes different feelings on the inside of us. But we must know that as believers, we are all going to be tempted. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been knowing God. Every one of us is going to face temptation in one way or another. So I want us to kick it off by reading the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 38. It says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We all face temptation. The Bible says, "Watch and pray." Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation, because often the spirit on the inside, you want to do what God is calling you to do, but your flesh, your desires are weak. Now, we all face temptation. Temptation is not a dirty word. Temptation is not this word that is like it's a wrong thing to say. But temptation in the Greek, I guess, derivative or the root of the word temptation in Greek means to be tested. So a temptation that comes into your life, it's not just this, whoa, I am drawn towards something, but it is actually you are being tested. Your will is being tested. Your beliefs are being tested. So every time you face a temptation, you must know that you are stepping into a test. We face temptations. The most holy people face temptations, and the people who just give themselves into temptations face temptations. But Jesus face temptations. Now we're going to go in the Bible and just see how Jesus faced temptation and just pick up lessons about temptation. In the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 1 to 14, it says, "And Jesus, full of the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.' And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'If To you I will give you all authority and all their glory. For it has been given to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, I will give all of these things will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Verse 9, it says, and he took him to Jerusalem and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until the opportune time. And then the Bible says Jesus's ministry begins. So the enemy comes to tempt Jesus just before his ministry begins. Then verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. Now, what I want us to pick up really quickly, this sermon is going to be picked up is going to be split into four parts. Four parts. The first part that we're going to look at about temptation, the part number one of this sermon, is called, when does temptation come? We're looking at Jesus who walks into the wilderness, and the enemy comes to him and wants to tempt him to fall from his purpose, to fall away from his calling, to make mistakes and to mess up the good that God wants to bring out of his life. So let us actually look, when does temptation come? Just picking up from this passage, number one. One, temptation comes straight after blessing. Temptation is going to come in your life straight after blessing. We see this temptation that happens in Jesus's life, it happens after Jesus was blessed by God. So we see previously, we just read in Luke chapter 4, but in chapter 3, verse 22, Jesus just gets baptized. And this verse says in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, it says, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus had just gone through a time of blessing. Jesus had just experienced confirmation. Jesus has just experienced affirmation that great things are going to come from your life. And after that blessing, that is when temptation comes. I want you to know that when a blessing shows up in your life, often your guard can go down because you're so excited about the good things that God is bringing into your life. But those are the moments the enemy wants to step in and bring temptation in your life. Now check this out. The enemy wants you to celebrate the blessing of God by sinning. I want to say that again. The enemy wants you to celebrate the blessing of God with sinning. Now, what happens with that? The problem with that is God does not want you to sin. God does not want you to walk into sin. So if your response to blessing is sin, it means that the blessing needs to slow down so that you don't sin. Check that out. God looks at your life and he sees that when he blesses you, you celebrate the blessing with sin. So because he doesn't want you to sin, he must bring down the level of blessing. Why? Because you're not prepared for it. You see, if you are celebrating God's blessings with sin, you're simply telling God that you are not prepared for the blessing. That actually God should not be blessing you so much. Actually God should not be giving you breakthrough. Actually God should not be answering your prayers because you're not prepared for all that goodness. When you receive goodness, you repay the goodness with sin. Don't spit in the face of God by sinning when God has blessed you. When you graduate, you say, oh, how are we going to celebrate, and you think about sinning. When God gives you a promotion, you think, hey, how are we going to celebrate, and you think about sinning. You are simply telling God not to bless you because you cannot handle the blessing. Another thing that the enemy does with that is he wants to turn you into a puppet so that you disrespect God. You see, the enemy cannot fight God head to head and cannot come after God, but the enemy wants to use you as God's child to disrespect God. You see, sometimes you can't hit the father father. But sometimes you can try to attack the children and use the children to disrespect the father. So don't be a puppet of the enemy used to disrespect God when he's being good to you. The enemy, now that's number one, temptation comes after blessing. The other time when temptation comes is temptation comes when you are alone. I don't know if some of you know this other show. It used to be on, I think it was MTV. It's called Temptation Island. If you don't know it, let me just explain it to you. So Temptation Island, imagine you are dating someone. You're in a relationship with them. So now the show comes to your partner and they tell your partner, hey, we have just won a holiday a week away on an island, but you have to go alone. So your partner tells you, hey, sorry. Hey, you know, I won this thing and I'm going to go on the island. So you tell your partner, your girlfriend or your boyfriend, okay, enjoy. Have a good time when you're out there. So they go out to this island, but on this island, it's called Temptation Island, and on this island they are models. I'm saying that the male models, they are tall, they have muscles, they, you know, it's like they live in a gym. And the ladies, the ladies have everything that they need. I'm talking about chocolate to vanilla, everybody is present. From chocolate to vanilla, I'm saying everyone is present. When you take the register and you say chocolate, they say present. Vanilla, present. Caramel, present. Chocolate chip, present. Okay. Everybody is there. Now, all of these models, they come to your partner and they want to make your partner unfaithful to you. They all want to tempt your partner. And then at the end of the week, they call you in, and because they are hidden cameras, you get to watch what your partner was doing with all of these extra immersive models. Now, I'm telling you, it would always end in heartbreak. I'm telling you, sometimes you'd see the lady would come to her boyfriend and say, what were you doing in the jacuzzi? What were you doing in the jacuzzi? The jacuzzi is for after marriage. Why were you in the jacuzzi? And the guy would say, hey, baby, I dropped my money. I dropped my 5 rand in there. And she was helping me find the 5 rand in the jacuzzi. I couldn't see because of the bubbles. And the girl would say, don't go in the jacuzzi. Now that whole show is based on the principle that you are most easily targeted for temptation when you are alone. When you are alone, you are in trouble of being tempted. The book of Proverbs chapter 18 verse 1, it says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. When you isolate yourself, when you walk alone, you are exactly where the enemy wants you to be, because you are vulnerable to temptation. This is why it's so important that you have friends around you, that you have community around you. So when you are weak, you can turn to someone and let them know, hey, I am being tempted in this moment. Pray for me. I am being tempted in this moment. Correct me. I'm being tempted in this moment. Give me some wisdom. Can I? Amen. It's not just about your friends. I'm talking about somebody who is over you, someone who is leading you, and you open your life before them. You become vulnerable to them, and you tell them about the things that are tempting you and causing you to sin. And it's not about doing it once. It's about every time you are feeling weak, you turn to someone and you say, I am weak. Please give me strength. Please help me be strong. Now, you may look at me and you say, no, but Pastor Jay, I don't get tempted when I'm alone. You get tempted when you're with people. You may be looking at me and saying, no, it's when I'm with somebody. It's when I'm with my friends. It's when I'm with these people that I am tempted. I just want to break something down for you. I want to unpack something for you. Look, if you are in a room and you're with someone, and there's a cake there, and both of you are tempted to have this cake, can I tell you something? That you are alone in that room. Why am I saying that? Because if the person you are with is tempted by what you are tempted by, that person simply becomes a part of your temptation. Because now it is just you facing a temptation, and the people in the room are just a part of the temptation. So it means you are alone in that room with your temptation. It's just you in that room facing the temptation. So it's still a situation where you are alone. There's no one in the room to stop you. There's no one in the room to correct you. There's no one in the room to say, don't do that. Temptation will attack you when you are alone. That is when the temptation will come. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he also provides the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." The Bible says that God is faithful. So when you are tempted, there is always a way out. Have you ever experienced a time when you were tempted? You could do something wrong. But there's always the moment where this happens. You know, you look left and right and you have a decision to make. Are you going to fall into the temptation? Are you going to follow that feeling or not? Because those moments when you feel like, oh, what am I going to do? Those moments where it always feels like something has stopped and you're like, okay, am I going to do it? Am I not going to do it? Those are the moments when God is opening the door of exit. He's saying, you don't have to do this. You don't have to go through that path. God is faithful to open the door of exit. Sometimes it is someone who calls you. Sometimes it is something that happens that, hey, it is stopping you and it's giving you an option. You don't have to do this. God is faithful. And when you see those opportunities happen, take those opportunities and invite people into your journey of temptation. So temptation comes when you are alone. And the third time that when temptation comes is temptation comes when you are feeling weak. Whether it is emotionally weak, physically weak, moments of weakness is when temptation is going to try and overwhelm you. When you are sad, when you are angry, when you are heartbroken. You know, there was a show called The Biggest Loser, and it was a show about people losing weight. And I remember there was a time, there's this other week where they allowed them to go home. And there was this one contestant who was overweight and was doing well, was losing weight, was exercising. But when they went home, they ran into some situations in family. And because of the bad situations at home, the person fell into the temptation of overeating and lost the progress that they were making. You see, it's, you know, one thing, you know, just as a side note, one thing that's very dangerous, né? If you want to lose weight, you mustn't eat magwenya. Magwenya, I feel like magwenya is a place where people go for emotional healing. Whenever you see someone ask for magwenya, you must ask them, are you fine? You know? You might ask, are you okay? I want magwenya. You know, if you just see like this, people are making magwenya, people want to buy. You must just go to the person and just say, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. You know, God is on your side. I'm telling you, that person will be crying in 5 minutes. Magwenya is depression food, man. I'm just playing. But temptation comes to you in moments of weakness, moments of weakness. Now, the truth is sometimes you may find yourself falling into temptation. You see, temptation is like a lie. Everyone can fall into temptation and everyone can be lied to. The problem is when you fall for the lie. You see, temptation will come to you and it will say things to you. It will try to cause you to do certain things. Now, it's fine to be tempted, but the problem is when you fall into that temptation. Now, this is what happens when we fall into sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are bold as a lion." It says, when you sin, when you fall into temptation, you will fall into sin. And what happens is that is walking in wickedness. Now, when you fall into sin, what happens is, you know, some people would say you've made a mistake, or maybe you've experience that you have made a mistake, and then it's like I don't feel comfortable going to church, or you begin to feel like, hey, people know what happened, or you begin to feel uncomfortable around people. The Bible says when you are wicked, you flee. You are uncomfortable when no one is chasing you. Sometimes you feel bad, but nobody knows what has happened. Nobody knows what's going on in your life, but you feel like people are judging you, but people don't know what's going on in your life. But the Bible says when you walk in righteousness, when you reject temptation and you live the life God's called you to live, you will be bold and you'll go wherever you go, because you're not worried about what will people say, what if people find out. So don't fall into temptation, because when you fall into temptation, when you fall into sin, it affects your boldness to be who God has called you to be. The book of Micah chapter 7 verse 8, it says, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." So I want to say that to you also. When you have fallen into temptation, I want to give you some courage to say that, hey, the enemy must not gloat and laugh over you. You need to speak to your sin. You need to speak to your temptation. And you say, hey, I may have fallen, but I'm going to get back up again. This is what I have to say to you. When you fall, get back up. The Bible says that a righteous man is somebody who falls and gets back up again. You can fall into temptation. You can fall into sin. You can make mistakes, but make the decision to get back on your feet. Some people feel like when they sin, when they make a mistake, I made a mistake, so I might as well go all the way. Don't do that. You have to realize once you have tripped, get back up again and keep seeking God. That is my encouragement to you. I know maybe someone listening to me right now, you may be saying, I have fallen. I might as well just continue going on the direction and on the path that you've been. I'm telling you today, you don't have to get back on your feet. You may have stopped praying. You can start praying again. You may have stopped living a pure life. You can start it again. God is not going to condemn you. You can do it. I am giving you courage. Please stand back on your feet because God still has a plan for your life. It has not been damaged. It is not destroyed. Great things are still coming your way. So number one, I spoke about when temptation comes. Three times, temptation comes after blessing. Temptation comes when you are alone, and temptation comes in moments of weakness. Jesus was fasting when the temptation came. So his body was weak, and when you are weak, that's when temptation will want to come in your life as well. Now the next part of this sermon is called the voices of temptation, the voices and the messages of temptation that will come your way. Number one in the voices of temptation, what temptation will tell you? Temptation will tell you to trust yourself. Temptation will tell you to trust yourself. So in the book of Luke chapter 4, book of Luke chapter 4 verse 3, it says, the devil said to him, if you are the son of man, command this stone to become bread. So the enemy was coming to Jesus and says, command this stone to become bread because you are powerful. You see, what temptation is going to lean towards in your mind, it's going to tell you that you are strong. It's going to tell you, trust yourself. You can do that. You can go to that party, right? Trust yourself. You can do those things with that girl, or you can do those things with that boy. Trust yourself. It's not going to happen to you. Now, one thing that we've all learned, and maybe you've not heard this enough, but never say that it will never happen to you. Never say that you could never fall into mistakes that other people have fallen into. The Bible doesn't tell us to trust ourselves. The Bible tells us that our trust must be in God. So one thing I tell many people is, and I want to tell you this today, don't trust yourself. Don't tell yourself that you trust yourself. Always know that you have the ability to do anything that anyone else has done. Any sin that anyone can do, you are capable of doing it too. So you must always treat yourself as if you are capable of doing it. So you must not give yourself the opportunity to do it. Temptation is going to say, trust yourself, you're strong. The enemy came to Jesus and said, turn this stone into bread. You are powerful. You are strong. Temptation is going to appeal to your pride, appeal to your ego, and tell you that, hey, trust yourself. The next thing temptation will tell you, the next message of temptation is, focus on what you will get, not how you get it. So we see in Luke chapter 4 verse 5, the devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all authority and all their glory, for it has been delivered to me and I'll give it to whoever I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. Temptation will say, don't focus on how you get that thing. Just focus on that thing. Don't focus on how you get the money. Don't focus on how you get the money. Just focus on getting the money. Don't focus on how you get successful. Focus on getting success. Don't focus on how you're going to get fame. Focus on getting the fame. So what happens? So in the middle of it, it says you have a desire. It says focus on what you will get. Don't focus on the compromise that you're going to have to do along the way. So you'll be tempted to do something in the middle here in order to get something. And the enemy will say, focus on this thing. Focus on what you're going to get. Don't focus on the wrong you're going to do. Don't pay attention on the compromise. Don't pay attention on the falling of your character that's going to happen, the falling of who God has called you to be that's going to happen. Just focus on what you are going to get and fall into the temptation. But let me tell you something. The thing that you're most likely going to do is sin. The thing that you're most likely going to do, that the temptation is going to call you to do, is going to call you to sin. And what Sin is always more expensive than it looks. Sin is always more expensive than it looks. Temptation will tell you it's not so bad. Just focus on what you're going to get, because I'm sure the enemy could have been saying, you know, Jesus, if you get authority over all these kingdoms, you're going to do great things, right? You're going to use it for a good purpose, right? You're going to use it for good. You're going to help people, right? But just, you know, just worship me. Just compromise a little bit. So temptation is going to tell you that forget about the compromise. Just focus on what you're going to get. Forget about the price. Just focus on the prize. And I want you to know, do not believe the lie of the enemy. The next thing, the voices of temptation. So I said the voices of temptation tells you, number one, temptation is going to tell you, trust yourself. Trust yourself. You're not going to fall. You're not going to make the mistake. Just go. Just go. The next thing about temptation, it says focus on what you're going to get. Don't focus on how you get it. Because how you get it, you're going to have to sin. How you get it, you're going to have to compromise your faith. So don't focus on those things. Just focus on what you're going to get, because that's what's important, man. And the third thing that temptation is going to tell you, it says you must see it to believe it. See it to believe it. You see, the Bible tells us that we must live by faith and not by sight. But temptation tells you to live by what you see. Now, let me unpack this and break it down for you. You see, sometimes you are not going to see how this thing is going to harm you. There are some things in the Bible that God tells you, don't do these things. The Bible says don't do certain things. And sometimes when you look at that thing, you cannot see how it's going to harm you. So temptation tells you, what do you see? Temptation asks you, what do you see? But your faith asks you, what do you believe? Temptation says, I forget about what you believe. I'm asking you, what do you see? Can you see how this thing is going to hurt you? This thing can't hurt you. This thing is not going to damage you. The pastors, they are just overreacting. The Bible is just overreacting. God, I'm sure God was talking about other things. But this thing, how can it harm you? You see, temptation is going to say, what do you see? But faith tells you, what do you believe? You see, we have to trust that God sees things that we can't see. You have to trust that when God is telling you to do something, when God gives you a commandment, when God tells you to live a certain way, it's because He sees things that you can't see. And you may not see how this is going to harm your family. Sometimes you don't see how this is going to harm your future marriage. Sometimes you don't see how this is going to harm your emotions. Sometimes you can't see it. But temptation is just going to say, what do you see? And all you can see is a good time. All you can see is something that you're going to enjoy. All you can see is something that's going to make you laugh at the moment and make you have fun. But faith says that these things that may make you laugh now, they're going to make you cry later. These things that you will be dancing now, you are going to be breaking. Your heart will be breaking later. These things that look like it is comforting now, it is making you feel warm now. Later, you will be feeling cold and abandoned. So we live by faith because we know God sees things that we cannot see. So that is two sections of the message. Number one was, when does temptation come? Now, the next part of the message was the voices of temptation and the messages of temptation. But now the third part of this message is, how can we prepare ourselves from temptation? How can we prepare ourselves from temptation? The Bible tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Now, the thing I want to ask you is, what is leading your life? What are you allowing to lead your life? Now, I just want to break this down very simply. When someone is leading you, simply what you are doing is you are watching the person and you are listening to the person. And also you are thinking about what the person is doing, and you're thinking about their life. Whoever is leading you, again, it can be your pastor, a mentor. It can be someone you're looking up to in a career. You look at their life, you listen to their words, and also you are internalizing what you are seeing from the person. Now, These three areas are the things you need to make sure that you are protecting in allowing God to lead you, in allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Number one, you must guard your eyes. You must guard the things that you are watching. You must guard the things that have the attention of your eyes. Pay attention. Listen to me again. The things that you are seeing have a great impact on what you'll be experiencing in your life and experiencing in your spiritual life. The other thing you must be paying attention to is your ears. The things you are listening to, the things that you are allowing to get into your ears are things that you need to be making sure that are these things leading me to God or are these things pulling me away from God? The third thing that you need to be making sure that you are paying attention to is your mind, the things that you are thinking about, the things you are internalizing. So these three things, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, you need to make sure the things that you are giving your eyes to are things that honor God and things that are bringing you closer to God. Secondly, the things you are listening to are things that are bringing you closer to God and not things that are pulling you away from God. And also the things that you are meditating upon, the things that your heart and your mind is focused on, and the things that you are the things that your mind is given to, those things must bring you closer to God and not draw you away from God. Jesus was being led by the Spirit. Now, one thing, I don't want you to be dizzy when you're listening to this podcast. I don't want you to be dizzy when you're listening to this episode and saying, you're experiencing what Jesus experienced. Jesus was going to a place of prayer. Jesus was fasting and praying. That is when the temptation came. He did not experience this temptation because he was being led to temptation. You should not say that, I'm like Jesus and, I'm going to face temptation. If you are going to places where you'll be tempted, no. In this story, temptation came to Jesus when he was seeking after God. And that is something that must be true of your life too. Temptation must not be something that you are going after. You must not be placing yourself in places where you will be tempted. Instead, you must be putting yourself in a position to know God, to serve God, and to be more of who He has called you to be. This is how you prepare yourself for temptation. This is how you prepare yourself for temptation. You know, I want to say one thing. You know, temptation comes into your life, and temptation doesn't only come into your life to make you sin at that point. Temptation does not come into your life to make you sin. Sometimes that's not the plan of the enemy. Sometimes what the enemy wants to do is simply to get you comfortable around certain environments. Sometimes the enemy just wants to tempt you a little bit and not to get you to fall. Sometimes all the enemy wants to do is to tempt you, to get you used to certain environments so that you would fall at a later stage. We read in the book of Luke, after the enemy tempts Jesus. Let's just look at that really quickly. In the book of Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, and when the devil ended every temptation, this is verse 12, Luke chapter 4 verse 12, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him and waited for the opportune time, waited for the right time to tempt the devil. So you know what the enemy is going to do? The enemy is going to tempt you and give you small temptation, and wait for a time when he is going to hit you the hardest. Sometimes what the enemy wants to do is give you these small temptations throughout your life, because do you know what the enemy actually wants to do? The enemy wants to destroy the marriage you'll have in the future. So he's going to be tempting you with these small things, and give you these small things along the journey, these small different things that are going to get you, you know, off your track, so that you can be the victim of sin in the future. So I want you to know, it's not always about the enemy trying to make you fall. The enemy is not always trying to make you fall. The enemy sometimes is simply just trying to make you fall into temptation and get you used to temptation. Can somebody say amen? Now, I want you to know this, as I'm closing this message. You know, the Bible tells us that we must fight all types of things. The Bible tells us that we must fight all types of things, right? The Bible says, fight the enemy, fight the good fight, fight all these types of things. But the Bible tells us not to fight temptation. The Bible tells us that we must flee temptation. The Bible does not tell you that you must stand somewhere and say that you're going to handle temptation. You know, there's this thing where people say that there is the fighting temptations. You must fight temptations. No, the Bible's not calling you. God doesn't say you must fight temptation. The Bible says you must flee temptation. Because you know what? Temptation doesn't come from outside of you. Temptation comes from the inside of you. And if you are keeping yourself in the place where temptation will find you, after a matter of time, it is going to get you, because it is something that's coming from the inside. It's not something that's coming from the outside. So that is the thing that I am ending this sermon with. When you see a place of temptation, if you know that there is a place that you are tempted, flee from that place. Stop telling yourself that you are strong, because for so long you've been trying to stand, you've been trying to fight, but you have been falling. It has not been working. So today I want to call you to not put your trust in yourself, but instead put your trust in God. When we flee temptation, we step into power. When you flee temptation, you are stepping into the power of who God is calling you to be. So right now I want you to look into your life and ask yourself, what tempts you? What is the areas of the life that are tempting you? And what are the things that you need to flee from? You just need to leave. You just need to exit from that situation. Temptation is not a standing zone. One thing temptation tells you to do is temptation tells you to stop. Temptation tells you stop where you are. You'll be living your life and doing your thing and doing what God's called you to do. But when temptation comes, it tells you to stop, but you should keep moving. When temptation tells you stop, I tell you, keep moving. That is not a place where you should be parking or stopping or living your life. I want to say a prayer for you today. But this is not just about me saying good words to you or preaching a good sermon to you. This is about you applying these words. You know when temptation comes. You know the voices of temptation. You know how to prepare for temptation. But temptation is not a fight. Temptation is something you exit from. You flee temptation. You flee. Listen to me. You flee temptation. You don't sit in it. You don't go look for it. You don't try fight it. You flee temptation. Let me say a prayer for you today. God, I come before you. I thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for your mercy. I thank you that this word is a word in season for people. I pray, God, that we would realize when temptation comes. We have just learned the times when temptation comes. We've just learned the voices of temptation, but also we learned how to prepare ourselves to watch what we are looking at, watch what we are listening to, and watch what we are meditating upon and what we are internalizing. But God, also, we've also learned that temptation is not something we fight. It's something we flee from. We run away from it. It's not something we are facing it, and we don't try to say we are strong. No, we say we exit that place, because the enemy waits for the right time to attack. And if we are always in the place of temptation, it's only a matter of time when we fall. We pray, give us grace, give us wisdom to live this life. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we all said amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. That's the J. Makopa podcast. Thank you for listening on Apple Podcast, Spotify, on Instagram Live. Again, guys, remember, I don't save the Instagram lives, because all of this is in my bio and on Instagram, but it's also on YouTube and Apple Podcast. Listen, if you were listening on any of the podcast streaming sites, please subscribe, please leave a review, please rate the podcast. I have 27 reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you. We are done. Flee temptation. I pray that you don't just listen to this word, but apply it. That's the J. Makopa podcast. I love you. Be prepared for the Instagram live on the 5th of August, Wednesday at 9 o'clock. See you there. See you next Sunday, 9 a.m. I upload the podcast, but we are live on Instagram at 9 p.m. Take care. God is love. Peace out. Thank you so much for listening to the J. Makopa podcast. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review, and also share it with all your loved ones and even the haters. Okay, take care, guys.